Listening to RTSC Talk Radio with your host Steve Holte and co-host Kristen Morris and Lieutenant Andy Selfridge. Now on with the show. Oh my God. All right. You're here live on RTSC Talk Radio. I am have the most god-awful experience with Windows Media in the past, I'd say, week. But anyway, I'm here. I'm on, and hopefully I'm live, and you guys are there. And my co-host should be there, too, Kristen and Andy. Are you guys
Hello.
There?
Hey, guys.
I'm here.
Okay. We have a guest tonight, Dr. Salo Stanley. She'll be coming on in roughly 10 minutes. So we're going to get that on there and learn about her. I don't know if you guys have taken the time to do any research about her work and stuff like that. I did minimal, I got to say. I haven't been researching it all that much. I do know that she does a lot, and I'll be learning a lot as she comes on here and talks. So let's... take it from there. You guys are going to have some good questions, do a little research, or
Yeah, the woman does. You're not kidding when you say a lot. She does everything, so there's lots to choose from for questions.
Okay. And Andy, I'm a little mad at you. You got rid of your mini box without consulting me.
I put it on the Yahoo group, but it just...
Yeah, a half hour ago.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't expecting to move so fast either, but surprised.
So people are anxious to get rid of their PX.
I can't wait to start some experimentation with it.
I would have did that trade.
You would have?
Yeah. I don't use the PX. I mean, I have it here. I don't use it.
Yeah, but you don't use the Mini either.
The thing I'm looking at is I need the ability to conduct a good ITC session without the necessity of having to have good reception for... AM waves, because I was at a location this last weekend, and I'm here to tell you it was in the boondocks, and couldn't get anything to save our lives on the mini box because we were that far secluded. So,
yeah, now, that's the worst.
Frank had come up with something a while back, and it was actually really interesting, and he only did it on one box and never did it again. I had mentioned to him at some point, I'm sure I mentioned it to him at some point, if he can make a box like EVP Maker, kind of like a you know, that you can record a piece of audio and then it'll scramble up and spit out some stuff to you, you know, if you need it. And he did. He made a box that you were able to record. And in case you're in a location where you don't get reception, such as a lot of people have, that you can just play that recorded piece of audio and it'll scramble it up just like EVP Maker, and you can get communication that way.
Man, that sounds cool.
Yep.
He only did that on one box, though, and he said it didn't work that good.
Oh, well, he should perfect it again. He's come a long way.
Yeah, I think he could do that.
And really, when you think about it, Bill Chappell's trying to get rid of all of his hardware stock, he's just going primarily to iPhone apps and Droid apps and stuff like that. There really isn't anything out there besides the experimental market for SpeedJet-driven ITC devices, so somebody would capitalize on that and make a good, relatively inexpensive device. I think it'd sell like hotcakes.
I actually just got a Droid. It says Droid on it. It's the Arcos 5 Internet tablet, and it says Android on it, and it says Droid. You know, in the owner's manual and stuff, that's what connects on the internet. So
sweet.
I'm interested to check that out. I got it because it's 500 gigs MP3, and I have like 200 gigs of music on my drive, so I needed something to hold that, you know. Not all great music, but it's good.
You got an awesome collection.
I do have an awesome collection. So, but Dr. Stanley's going to be calling in about five minutes, and what we're going to do with her. What are we going to do with her? I know I
well,
wish...
Well, let's ask her about... She has the crystal skull that she's into.
What crystal
skull? I don't know much. You know that crystal skull?
Yeah, I didn't know she was into that.
She's into that, Max or whatever. She plays the Native American flute in, you know, like woo-woo music or whatever they call it, New Age music. She does tarot reading. She uses tuning forks and some kind of sound therapy where she built some contraption in her office that generates sound surrounding, I don't know if she can explain it, to help, I don't know, sound therapy to help you get rid of depression or whatever.
I spoke to Rich earlier, and he said that she uses Ghostbox in her practice. She's a chiropractor.
Yeah, she's well, what I read about her bio is that she found out about it in like 2009 last year. And she got a hold of a PX, or she had a hack. I don't know which hack. I think probably the 469. And then she got a hold of the PX. So she uses those two. And Rich is building her box, of course, so.
Right. Can't be nothing bad there.
Right.
So, I don't know. My computer's locking up bad.
Oh, that's
this
not
stupid
good.
Windows Media. I can't stand this Windows Media.
And use Real Player.
I'm thinking I'm going to have to switch it up. I could use Windows Media Classic, but when I was, before the show, I was doing my music through Windows Media, the actual edition of Windows Media for the playlist, and it just screwed up my computer, and it's still not right. I should have actually restarted before the show. But, you know what? Anyway, got the boys from work in the chat room.
Hi, guys.
I can
see that.
Hi, guys. How you doing tonight? Let's keep it PG-13 in there. And
Never a dull moment with that crew.
Never a dull moment. Now, you see what work's like. But, anyway, Andy, you were talking about earlier, I saw it kind of drew my attention a little bit, about the FLIR IR camera, the thermal imaging camera?
Mm-hmm.
That you bought this camera for $3,000 and haven't seen anything paranormal yet? Kind of like a waste, no?
Ouch!
Well, I look at it from a slightly different perspective. I think, you know, because my team does a lot of client-based investigations, and I think to paint the best picture of what is or is not going on in a place, you really have to cover as much scientifically as you can. And our current instrument package, we can do everything from shortwave UV all the way up to longwave IR for thermal. So it's been absolutely irreplaceable in debunking stuff. I mean, just last week we kept hearing what sounded like footsteps, and with FLIR, I was able to find a mouse under 2 inches of a fallen insulation. So, you know, it does great.
But how would a mouse sound like footsteps? Like a, I don't understand how that would be.
I guess it was just chewing on something, and it's just the way the sound propagated. But it was kind of interesting. But yeah, once we found him, we kind of scooted him out of the way, and he went about his business, and we didn't hear the sounds again. So I'm gonna go ahead and say that's what it was.
Huh?
So they hear it again, and they go look for another mouse.
But you see, with the ghost hunters, you know, they have people they get people running. I remember the image from Waverly Hills where they had the little kid running across the hall. Now,
yeah, I guarantee you that was either a mistake and it was a production crew member, or worse.
Hey, what about that one with the dude in the locker in was it Arkansas?
Yep, that was at Crescent Hotel. That was Grant.
Oh yeah, that was with the Civil War guy.
Well, yeah, he had like some hat
actually
on.
Grant.
You think it was Grant?
I know for a fact it was. If you look at it real closely, the shirts match up exactly, and the reason why it looks a little more shadowed.
Grant didn't have a hat on.
But that was his hair. If you look up Dream Singers, if you just Google Dream Singers debunking of that episode, it shows it perfectly and dissects it frame by frame. But what you were looking at is the reflection of his heat on that metal locker. Now, even though the paint on the locker had a lower emissivity than the white paint, because you can see that number, the number 2, I believe it was, it's still reflecting. I'm not sure. You'd have to look up Dream Singer. I'll hunt down the link here in a minute and post it in chat.
I'll find it. Okay.
But, yeah, that's just simply a thermal reflection. What's tricking people is the fact that you got 2 different color paints on that metal locker. One reflects and one kind of absorbs.
It really did look like a Civil War soldier, though. I've seen that.
It did. Yeah. It did. But the problem with thermal technology is whatever's there has to have enough mass to either emit or reflect infrared, long-wave infrared. And if you've got a ghost floating through the air, it's not going to have enough mass to reflect anything. So, and when you're like, if you're in a room pointing the flare at a wall, you're not getting what's in between you and the wall and the air. You're just getting the surface of the wall. So, it's just a misrepresentation of the technology. Now, on the flip side of that, what you can do is if you have, like, a reaction experiment, like a children's toy or something like that, and you ask whatever's present to touch or move the toy or somehow, you know, interact with it. Mm-hmm. If the temperature drops on the surface of the toy, I think that's a good way to detect paranormal activity, but I haven't done a whole lot of experimentation with that yet.
It's interesting stuff. See, I don't know if I would spend that kind of money to find that stuff out. I mean, it's good debunking. you know, if you're out there doing this all the time, you know, I'm not out there doing this all the time, so it would be pointless for me to buy that expensive piece of equipment. And
well, I also use it for work, you know, manhunts and stuff like that, so it really comes in pretty handy there, too. So.
Oh, I'm sure that would be the primary use of it.
Yeah.
Some guys run through the woods, just point it at the woods and watch them go.
Pretty much, but I ain't going to lie. Being a paranormal investigator was a big part of it, too, so...
If I could have a camera, I would have one, even if I have no use for it. They're just cool.
Oh, they're definitely cool. There's no doubt about that. Just the cheapest one is, you posted, was $2,000, so I'll stick with my $25-$30 ghost boxes for now. So
yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, FLIR and Fluke and ICI are some of the top manufacturers, and they're really getting to a price and feature war. So I would not be surprised if you see a camera in the next 2 or 3 years that's below $1,000.
I would think so. What was expensive? Well, there was a lot of stuff that was expensive that dropped in price over the years. There's not only thermal imaging, that's definitely going to drop down in price. I think Bill Chappell was trying to incorporate a thermal imaging device on his puck. Which is, I don't think he ever did. He never finished that portion of it. But it was supposed to have a thermal imager on the paranormal puck. So, I don't know. I guess Bill's the guy. He kind of comes up with all these different things, and he does it inexpensive. Like, if people have it out there for $3,000, he'll say, well, I'll make it, and take me 10 minutes, and I'll sell it for $80. You know what I mean? That's how much Markov is in this stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, when you consider the parts, there's a device out there called the EVP field processor. Now, I can't get any specs on this unit as far as the actual electronics go, because, I mean, they're saying it's a proprietary deal, and I understand they want to keep a secret. But for me, it looks like it's a LM3419 LED driver and a filtered input, which I could probably replicate the whole device for about $30. So, but they want 150 for it. So, I don't know. And APRA is the makers of
also a friend of the show, LC Duplat. He's actually built his own camera, too. I guess it's a full-spectrum camera. I don't know what constitutes a full-spectrum camera.
Well, that's kind of confusing
UV light all the way through the light that you couldn't see with your eyes, I guess?
Well, the misnomer on it is, like, you take the Modotronics version, and they were the first ones to market a full-spectrum camera. Well, it's not really full-spectrum. They block out visible light, so it's only dual-spectrum. You get a little bit of long-wave UV and a little bit of near-infrared. Full spectrum to me would mean the entire visible spectrum plus near infrared and UV, preferably down to UVB. But everybody says if you can see a little bit of UV with it, they call it a full spectrum camera, and they're not all created equal. So, but the best way to do it is to, like LC did, mod your own and make your own.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. And let me get. Let's see, let's call Dr. Stanley, get her in on the call here. If I can figure out, I can never figure out how to do Skype. Does anybody know?
No.
They update it like every day on me. I gotta really put a stop to that, because it gets, it starts.
I still have 2 years ago version. I refuse to upgrade.
Yeah, me too.
Let me see if I can. Let's see if this works. If it doesn't work, then we'll have to take it from there. All right. Let's see if we can get her on here. It's ringing.
The person you're trying to reach is not available.
Oh, that's good.
Please leave a message after the beep.
That's good. Our guest is not available.
Maybe she's trying to call you.
Oh. That's a good point. May I wait a second? I did tell her to call 20 after, so let's see if she... I'm used to being fashionably late. Let's see if she is. Then we could... they really get some funky names on this chat room, don't they? Dip Goo.
Yeah, Dip Goo.
That's not even like a nasty name somebody made. That these stupid names, Snooky Bumps and, you know, Fluffy Wad and, you know, all these different people. I have to get order in the court here.
I reminded them one moment to keep it PG-13, but I think
I
just went over there.
All right, guys. Since our guest is not here yet, why don't one of you guys call into the show and say something stupid? 732-587-7041 is the number.
And maybe Steve, did you listen to my files I posted? Right?
Loved it, loved them. And that one
very
file.
Fast.
Oh, hang on. Our caller.
She calling?
Yes, she's calling.
Woo-hoo.
Hello, you're on with Steve Holte on RTC Talk Radio. Dr. Stanley, I presume. Hello? Hello? Or not?
Or not?
Hello? She's definitely on.
I wonder if the microphone's muted.
She looks might like have her Skype microphone.
Yeah, it looks like
maybe.
She called from a like a landline or a cell phone.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure why she's not coming through here. So isn't it just great? Yes, it's
fun.
Quality produced show there, Casper Nutsack. All right, let's try.
People.
All right, let's answer one of the guys from work while we're trying to figure this out.
Okay.
Yes, you're on live. What's going on?
Hey, D. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on tonight?
There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. There's a bunch of rude people in the chat room. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I know. I'm going to have to come in there and wash somebody's mouth out with soap.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
All right, listen, I'm going to try to get my guest on again. And if I can't get the guest on, I'm going to call you back. How's that?
Hey, I like where your head's at, Steve.
All right. Hello?
Oh, this is Samo.
Oh, yeah. Hang on 1 second. Let me get you, let me transfer you to the...
Yeah, I had trouble with the Skype, but for some reason my microphone's not coming through, and it's not reading my sound card on my computer.
Yeah, let me hang up with you and add you into the conference. Hang on 1 second.
Okay.
Hey, guys, you still there? Kristen, I don't know what's going on tonight.
You know what? It's big deal. Big deal. We're having fun. That's all that matters.
Is that what
Let's
going?
Discuss. Yeah, we're having fun.
I had her. She was on.
She was on. She heard us?
No, she definitely was on.
I saw that it said connected, so.
Let's see if I can get it. I told her I was going to call her right back. You know what? I didn't add her into the conference. I just picked up the phone call, so.
Okay. Well, I saw her on there
okay,
as if
she's
she
on
was
here
on-
now. But we're gonna get okay. this. We're gonna get this going on.
We're bringing.
Hey. Okay, we're back. Oh man, we'll eventually get this right tonight. Hello. Hello.
Call in progress.
Yeah. She said she was having a problem with her Skype.
Oh.
Which is,
Go backwards. Go to old, what is it called, Andy? Oldversion.com? Get the old versions.
Yeah, well, I'm having a problem with Skype, too. I always have a problem with Skype.
I won't upgrade.
Yeah, I have
Change is bad.
I have the latest version. I got, 4.2, blah, blah, blah. All right, let me see if we can get her on here again. Hang on 1 second.
Okay.
Hello, let's try this again.
Hello, this is Salo.
Okay, I think we got it now.
Woo!
All right, thank God.
Yeah, my Skype is not working very good. It didn't recognize my sound card.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. I'm having all sorts of computer problems. You're having computer problems. It's just not a good night.
I'm not. My computer's great.
Oh, okay, la-di-da.
Well, that's good.
Okay, Salo, this is, you're on with Andy and Kristen and me, Steve. So, if you can remember that. Andy, Kristen, Steve.
Okay.
That way you could, you know, direct who you're talking to. Anyway, good to have you on the show. This is great.
Oh, yeah. So I'm glad I got through. I was just really trying my best to try to get through. My Skype just wouldn't work.
Yeah, I tried calling you. It says the call is not available. I said, oh, great.
I know.
What do you
think? I thought I'd call myself. Well.
But, yeah. Well, you, yeah. Been checking out your site, as well as I had everybody else check out your site also. And I know that Rich Georgina, a good friend of mine, is building you a box. And it's not just a box.
It sounds amazing.
Well, I think he's putting a sweep circuit in, of course, and we're also thinking about some UV light, because I know that attracts the energy from the other side with the ultraviolet light. It's a different frequency. And along with crystals, of course, and through my research, I've learned through Dr. Millay, he's a physicist in Connecticut, he actually is doing time travel experiments. And
oh,
so
really?
What he does is he actually rotates a light field with lasers in a certain direction, and from that you can actually create a little ripple in the time-space continuum. And so I kind of got the idea from him doing some of the research over the last few years to actually put a crystal in a circle and actually rotate the light with UV light first, and then I also want to rotate it and bounce it off mirrors with a laser. So that way it creates almost like an energetic field.
That's a whole lot of stuff going on there. And when you say time travel, I mean, does time travel only go backwards or does it go forward too?
Well, Dr. Millay says it's a lot easier to go backwards than it is forward. So, but what my guides have said, no, you can do it both ways.
I just read something. I've been reading up on stuff, and it said something about, I need to get my notes in front of me, but anything that goes forward must be able to go backwards. It's basic quantum mechanics or quantum physics, one of the two.
I would agree with that because I think that any ideas is infinite. If it can be imagined, it exists in the universe, in some parallel universe, in some type of space and dimension, it nothing's impossible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, think about it. Where are you guys at? Are you guys back east? Or?
Yeah, I'm actually, well, I am. I'm in New Jersey. Kristen is in Texas. And Andy, where are you, Andy? Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, yeah.
Okay, well, you guys are ahead of me in time right now. I'm like a couple hours or 3 hours behind, so you guys are time travelers.
Sweet.
That's true, if you think about it that way.
Yeah, now, I would think that people can't go ahead in time. Well, if you go ahead in time, people are saying the world's going to end in 2012. So I'm thinking if the world's going to end in 2012, you can't really go ahead too far in time if it's going to be the end.
It's not.
I don't know.
That's my scientific opinion. It's not going to end. Okay.
And if you think about it.
I love John Hogue saying about it. It's not doomsday, it's bloomsday. It's about a spiritual awakening and just with new electronics and a new sense of science, and it's a new renaissance art out there with the contact of the other side. I think that's what it's about. It's about time travel, and it's about piercing the dimensions and actually making contact.
Yeah. Now, I haven't been doing this.
Good quote, Steve. Did you see that? No. I posted it on the board. It was from Alice Bailey. She was one of the original theosophists about the radios. Did you ever know about that one, Sallow?
No, I don't. I think that's cool, though.
I found this quote, and I'm going to quickly find it again, but it's by Alice Bailey, and she was a theosophist during, you know, and she channeled some great Tibetan master or something, same one as Madame Blavatsky or something, but she channeled a quote from her master, her Tibetan master named DK, and it said, in the near future, they'll be using radios. It will no longer be pseudoscience. They'll be using radios, and it'll become regular science to talk to the other side. And this was in 1936.
I just love it. I just think it's so awesome. I mean, you know, when I had my spiritual awakening in 92, my guides were telling me the same thing, and I was trying to get things to work way back in 92, and I just didn't have the devices or the know-how of electronics at the time, but I have a lot of schematics that I drew in 1992. And it was only recently meeting people like you guys and things over the last few years that it's getting pretty exciting.
So what do you use right now?
Well, let me back up real quick before you answer that. The spiritual awakening you had in 1992, what was the spiritual awakening to bring us up to?
Well, I know it kind of sounds silly, but, you know, in 1992, before that, I was a chiropractor for many years, and I really, you know, was brought up Catholic, and I really didn't believe in too much the other side too much as far as that goes or anything that was kind of woo-woo or kind of far out there. And I just went and treated my patients and didn't believe in that. But one of my patients was bugging me to go to this healer in town that does crystal healing. And I just really thought it was too far out there. And so after 9 months of her bugging me, I finally went on July 28, 1992 to crystal healing. And so I was just laying there, and this lady was like laying these crystals on my forehead and my chest. And I just thought I felt really kind of silly. And but after a couple minutes, my body started shaking, and I felt like my body was expanding sideways. It was kind of like a hum. And I actually heard a pop in my head, and when I did, was my first contact. I actually was clairaudient at the time. I actually heard my guide speaking to me, saying that they made contact. They were so happy to come through. and that now I could do what my spiritual purpose was, and they were there to guide me, and I about freaked and almost jumped off the table at that time. And I asked the person that was working on me that I have this little guy from India talking to me about spiritual matters. Is this part of the treatment? She said, no, I've been doing this for 20 years. This has never happened. It'll probably go away. Well, it never went away. And so life changed at that time. I thought I was losing it. I went to 3 psychiatrists at the time. Luckily, I took all the tests. They said I was basically not schizophrenic, not bipolar. I was still running my practice, paying my bills. I was pretty cognizant, and they just said I was having a paranormal experience, and they couldn't explain it.
They never can.
And life changed.
Now, Kristen.
What were you
going to say?
Well, I know you started using the box in 2009, and from what I've read is you had a patient at the time that was interested in it. That's a really interesting story.
Yeah, one of my patients was very interested in it. He owned a laundromat in town, and he was very much into electronics, and I was showing him, I said, you know, and in fact, it was Steve's website that I went to actually do one of the hacks. So I was doing one of the hacks, and it was, like, working, and I was showing him the box, and then he was real excited about it. He wanted to help me with it, but he was really sad because his son was up in the Bay Area dying of an illness, and he was very depressed. And I said, you know, you hang in there. And he gave me a hug that day and said, you know, I love you, which none of my patients usually say it that much, you know, as far as, like, give me a hug and say they love me. And he left, and a week later he was going to have an appointment. He missed his appointment. I called his wife, and his wife said, I'm so sorry, Salo, but after he left, 5 days after he left you, he had a heart attack in one of the parking lots and died.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, my goodness, the day I got that news was the day I finished my box, and I'm thinking, oh, Don, you know, gosh, I never got to show you the box, and I'm so sad. And that's when my guides came in my head. They said, well, why don't you use the box? And I thought, okay. So I put the box on. I was in between patients. I made sure that none of my patients were in the waiting room. I didn't want them to think I was weird. And I took one of my recorders, and I actually turned on the radio, and I said, Don, are you there? Can you say your name, Don? And I said that about 3 times. Played back the recording, and right after I said, Don, are you there? He said, Don. And not only once, but 3 times in a row, every single question I asked, he said, Don. And from that, I was hooked because it was his voice. And not only that, during the recording, he said the word Dave, which I didn't know why he kept on bringing up Dave. When his wife came in for an adjustment, I said, you know, I know you're really sad about Don passing away, but I think he's trying to get a message through. Do you know a Dave? And she looked at me, and she turned white, and she says, oh, my God, Salo, that's my brother. There's no way you would have known that's his name. And she said, Don and Dave didn't get along together, but Dave has been helping me through his funeral and everything. And so from that, you know, it seemed to get her a sense of like, wow, maybe there is something more like that after death. And after that, I slowly also had, I can't mention the name publicly, but there was someone involved in one of the PP Sweat Lodge deaths.
Oh.
And one of the relatives, actually, and friend, called me up and said, before it hit national news on October 8th, they said, I heard you do things with the box, and I would like a spiritual reading, Salo, and do you think you could do a reading? And I said, yes. In fact, why don't I see if I can contact on the box? And so that later that night, I actually got communication from one of the people that passed in the sweat lodge.
Now, and it seems like you got a lot of stuff going on with this box. Do I have this box? I want to get one of these boxes.
It's one of your hacks.
Which one was this?
I used the original Radio Shack hack, the 12-469.
Yeah, that's a good
one. And I also used the 12-587. The thing I don't like about that is sometimes it shuts off its sweep.
Yeah,
and it isn't continuous. And
that's classic.
The heck yeah. And, you know, the 12-469, what I like about it is it has a nice consistent sweep, my guide said. It has a really nice rhythm to it. It has really the closest, one of the closest contacts to the other side. The only thing I don't
maybe it's that incessant clicking that they love.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the clicking or what, but it's kind of irritating with the clicking, but there's some type of rhythmic, wave to it that my guide said that is very close to contact. And that's the information I got. And then I used the SD7 from Chris Fleming. He gifted me that box. I had a talk with him on the radio, on his phone, personally. I was talking about my research, and he says, you know what, I'm just going to gift you one of those SD7s, and you can use one of those. So
what do you think of that thing? Personally, I used it. I thought it was the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
What I don't like, I like the fact that it has the alternating sweeps on it, okay? I don't like the smallness of it because the speaker, I can't hear out of it.
And also and so the white noise is kind of annoying.
There's something about it that's not, it's close, like Gary Golka is a genius, but I think the sweeping rate is, the chip or whatever needs to be a little bit different, the box needs to be better. And the speaker, I like the idea of the speaker in the front and the back.
Right.
I think that's kind of cool. So as you're investigating, you can hear the front and back of it no matter where you're standing. I think that's a great idea. But the volume can be a little bit better. The speaker could be a little bit better. And the sweep rate is or the chip, my guys are correcting me right now, there's something with the chip itself that can be altered that would really make it sweet, my guys are saying.
Now, with all the stuff, now you speak... Now, you're psychic as well, right?
Yes. Since I had that spiritual awakening, I didn't ask to be psychic, but, you know, be careful what you wish for. I mean, I took some classes way back in the 70s from Sylvia Brown before she was famous, and I always thought, geez, it would be great to channel and talk with your guides and angels, and would always kind of wish that and read books about it, but, you know, never really quite got there. And then when I had that little... spiritual awakening, which really flipped me out. I got my wish come true, but then I had to learn to have a whole new way of living as far as having spiritual boundaries with the spirits on the other side and also everybody else's thoughts. I was just like the volume was turned way, way too high for me that I was getting too much interference from everybody.
Well, where I was going with the psychic thing is if you have impressions of, and you do this research, you know, as well as I do and, you know, a lot of people out there, are they telling you anything? Because I'm interested to know because I'm not psychic and I don't have any of these ideas. Occasionally I'll have something come to me in a dream and I'll wake up and I'll say, okay, you know, that was kind of weird. I thought of that, but that's a great idea. I do have that happen. I don't know if that's anything paranormal, but that happens. But are they telling you anything different to do with what we're doing right now? I mean, any kind of improvements?
Yes, they are. The sleep rate needs to be altered. Something with the crystals itself in the box that needs to be altered. And my idea is at least putting four crystals in each corner of the electronic breadboard or the board itself.
Right.
And actually bouncing off the lasers, a mirror. And you can actually create a holographic field if you use a beam splitter, and then the mirrors itself, concave or convex. It says it's going to create an interference in the field to kind of like pop that bubble, so it makes a little bit better bridge from this side to the other. The thing that my guys have always said about these boxes is it's going to be so simple, it's like the nose on our face. And we're going to be going, oh, my God, how could it be that simple?
Wow. So it's about – so they're saying positioning the stuff differently as we're building the box makes a difference, putting it in different spots?
And well, the crystals in each corner and then some about mirrors.
That's one of them. But you know what the key ingredient is for anything with this electronics, which a lot of people are missing, is the law of attraction. What I mean by that is the fact that the builder of the box must have the desire and the feeling and the joy and creativity of this their energy actually becomes one with that box, because the box itself has a life force of its own that a lot of people are thinking about a lot of these devices. What I mean by that is the fact that we are spiritual beings in this housing of our physical body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, the electronics itself is a house. And light energy and sound actually come from the seventh dimension. When they come into our field all the way down into the third dimension, it slows down, but they also need a housing or house in order to interact on our plane. Now, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but I learned a lot of this when I went to Dominher in Italy. These people, the myth is that these people are time travelers from 600 years in the future, and they actually built these underground temples of five stories high in 1 hour north of Turin. And what they do, they've actually built a time machine there. I've actually seen it, but they don't allow a lot of the public to go into the machine itself. But their theory is they believe that by having this consciousness, bringing in the consciousness of the seventh dimension into these electronic devices, you can have that intent and get this device to work, whereas someone else that may not believe in it or have the heartfelt desire or the intent to work with the object, it won't work. Okay? The way they proved consciousness was they actually built these electronic devices that hooked up these electrodes to these plants. They taught the plants to have the biofeedback in the way of this machine to know that when they hooked it up to the piano keys, they knew that they were giving off certain notes. They put all these groups of these plants in a circle, and each plant made a different note. And after a while of learning, of months and months of knowing that they had a consciousness, that they had the power to create these notes through their electronic, it's almost like a lie detector test with a galvanic skin response. They were actually making music after a few months.
Huh.
I had to go see this for myself. So when I went there, my Native American flute, I walked into this treehouse there on the property, and in the treehouse, these plants hooked up to electrodes with this keyboard. And it almost sounded like New Age music, a little bit of a note here and there. And I said, oh, is that a CD? And they said, no, that's the plants playing. I said, oh, okay, well, that's really far out. So I took my Native American flute, and I sat there, and I started to play music. At first, I didn't get anything. All they did was the chromatic scale on the piano, like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, up and down. The thing about the Native American flute, it's more of the pentatonic scale, which is scale like the black keys. It's minor keys, so they weren't playing notes with me. I couldn't adapt to them, but the weird thing was, after 15 minutes, hearing me play, they started to adapt to me. They started playing chords against my melody. I was totally blown away by consciousness. So I actually purchased one of the machines there, and they make them by hand. It took them several months to make it, and I brought it back to the United States, but it's on the European voltage, not the American current. And I have to get an adapter, and that's one of my projects I want to do is actually hook up the plants and have consciousness. So I thought, geez, if the plants can do that, why can't electronics? They have a consciousness itself. Crystals have a consciousness. If you think about Max the Crystal Skull having interaction with people and actually having conversations, and they're actually doing electronic voice phenomena now around Max the Crystal Skull.
How did they do that?
Well, they've just been running the recorder in front of him and asking questions, and they've actually got some feedback. And actually, it was kind of my idea that I came up with it a few months ago when I know Joanne Parks, who owns Max. I brought it up to her, and then I brought it up to the Constantinos, Debbie and her husband.
Right, we had them on the show.
So they were real excited about meeting Max, and I guess eventually I think they got to see Max. I'm not sure if they're doing it with him. But Joanne wrote me an email about a couple weeks ago saying that they're starting to get some feedback from Max, actual voice, electronic voice from him.
Now,
that's impressive.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
A lot of information coming through. A lot of stuff coming through. With the Ghostbox stuff, you just have the hack radios, or do you have like a mini box or something like that? Just the hack radios for now?
I just have the hacked radios for now, but I also have the PX. And
through
my to my research, what I do is I set up a room in my office when somebody wants to do some research. I let them volunteer if they want to have contact with someone that's passed or their guides or angels. It's just research. I set up the PX box. I set up the hack box. I put it on speakers. And I also run an EM pump because I find that there's a lot of response with the EM pump that Bill Chappell has done because it seems to attract them. I also have a black light that I put in around that area. And then I record it. I ask the patient to just ask questions, and we record it, and we see what we get. And it's just really interesting, the amount of feedback. One of my YouTube videos does have a chronic voice anomaly, someone saying what their guide's or angel's name was, and his name was Eddie. So she gave me confirmation about that. She always thought it was that name, and for it to come through on the radio was kind of cool.
Now, being in contact with it, now, see, I'm curious from my point of view, because I actually build my own version of the ghost box, and I'm doing this all the time. You know, if you were to give me something that they told you, you know, like you said, they said something about the sweep. Now, when I'm building the box, what should I concentrate on doing? Because I want to make this as good as it could possibly be, and I think my box is pretty good. It gets a lot of good communication, but I'm always wanting to know what they want us to do.
Well, you know, think about it. Like, for example, what my guys are saying right now, if you have a favorite sport or mm-hmm. something that really gives you joy, okay, right. That you just think is just so fantastic, you just love doing, okay? So you take that feeling that you have and you visualize that feeling as you're making the box, your box is going to be a lot better.
It's so basically put your mojo on it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with that. And how do you think that they are facilitating the communication? I know a lot of people do sessions different ways with the ghost box. I particularly like a faster sweep, and I think that they're using sounds and not words from the radio, like disc jockey words. A lot of people, you know, they grab words from the radio and say that that's communication, which it might be, but I particularly focus on just the sounds because they're able to create words from the sounds. How do you think they're coming through and, you know, doing the communication? How are they doing it on their side?
I think they're actually doing it with thought and intention, which is vibration. And everything is color, light, vibration, and sound, so you're right on about that, my guys are saying.
Right.
So it is their thought process, their telepathing on a certain frequency wavelength. And I think I talked about this with someone else that was working on the box. Wouldn't it be interesting, Chris Fleming told me, I wonder what telepathy or the thought process is of us thinking. What frequency is that? And I said, that's easy. That's usually around alpha wave, which is 7.8 cycles per second. And so I was telling them, I says, you know, if we could tap into the human consciousness itself, which we do get our information from, if we can get a cycle and be able to convert it to 7.8 cycles per second for us to hear, maybe they're at a higher frequency because they're at a higher dimension or a different dimension that's a different frequency. If we're able to step down that frequency into for us to audibly hear, because our ears can't hear past 20,000 hertz.
Right.
Okay. And so 7.8 cycles per second, we can't hear. But if there's a way of converting the thought process into something audible with the sound, with the radio, the white noise, then I think we're really onto something. Yeah.
Okay. Ralph in the chat room is asking a question. He wants to know where are they, you know, when they're coming through? Are they in the vicinity of the box? Are they... You know, are they on Mars? Where are they?
Everything consciousness is all non-localized, my guys are saying. They're everywhere and nowhere. And that's the thing that they always tell me. They always give me esoteric things like that. But with the box itself, it's a pinpoint of time. It is a point of focus. That's what they're coming through right now telling me. The box is the point of focus for them to concentrate on, to send their thoughts to be able to get through to our dimension.
Huh. Well, I did a session the other day, and I asked some pretty deep questions, and I got some really cool answers. on a super fast sweep, I must say. And what I got, I asked them if they were using some form of telepathy, teleportation of telepathy is what I got. And they said I was correct. It was very clear. You are correct. And then I asked if they use crystals, because way back when I first started, I got a lot of information about they use, you know, a clear rock. And they said they use large crystals. I don't know if they mean on our end or their end, but they said they use crystals. And I thought that was pretty interesting as well.
I would agree with that, my guys are saying. The interesting thing is, too, and a lot of people may kind of poo-poo a circle. When you do, the thing that they were saying also with, was it George Meek? He was doing with SpiritCom. The one thing that some of his research he found was more productive when they found either was a psychic or medium in the room or a living plant. I thought that was a key ingredient there, because for some reason their brain waves are doing something that's actually attracting the two-way communication. So what my guide showed me in the dream time was that when they are communicating with us, they actually kind of sometimes use the crystals. They actually form a circle. They actually hold their thought process and hold their energy field into becoming one and send it over to us on our side. So also, if you get mediums or psychics in the circle holding hands, they create this energetic field, this circle, a vortex. And if you create that vortex, you are actually creating teleportation or a rip in the time-space continuum in order to break off the matrix here and have a bridge over to the other side.
Wow, that's deep.
Well, that's pretty much, that's... I mean, it's come through. I've been told by them to get into a circle, to meditate, to do all the things that, you know, you would necessarily associate with the New Age movement, which if you're technically minded, kind of, you know, well, I don't know if I want to do that. I can't meditate to save my life. I can't quiet my own brain down. But I've been told to. I've been told to get into a circle. I've been told they use crystals. I mean, everything that you're saying has come over the radio. So it's ringing true for me.
Yes, and you can create an energetic field. So think about it. If you created a circle of crystals and you had alternating lights on the crystals, my guides like to joke with me, it's like a little landing surface for them to come in, you know, like an airplane. And here's landing lights, you know, and here's electronics, and here's the divine love that you're giving in the circle. It's going to attract this light. Light, you know, it's the law of attraction. And it's because your heartfelt desire to have that contact, you're going to have it, no ifs, ands, and buts about it, and get good stuff. But you have to be lined up with yourself to actually believe that and know that. This is where the magic comes in. This is where all the new renaissance things are going to happen over the next few years, because you got to really believe in the work that you're doing.
Now, you mentioned the alpha waves that come to 7 point, whatever, 7.8. Was it that you said that they come through? Now, the SpiritCom project, they focused on 29 megahertz. Now, that was where they felt that the spirits were communicating on 29 megahertz. First of all, do you believe in the SpiritCom project? Do you think that actually ever happened, or was that a big hoax? We can start there.
That's the question that comes up a lot, doesn't it, about it? I kind of look at that when I first heard it, I didn't feel in my heart it was a hoax. And I just have to go off my intuition about that. And I always tell my patients about that, too. If it don't feel right, then it ain't right. And if it feels right, then it is. But you have to go with what your heartfelt feeling is about it. So I personally didn't think when the first time I heard it that it was a hoax. I really think it was a beginning. I think what was there that was a little bit different is maybe someone's heartfelt, you know, desire to really, you know, actually contact something. And the thing is, too, it's interesting that my guides are also saying right now is that a lot of experts who were electronics experts here on this physical plane are actually in group classes and actually working on the other side to make contact with us here. They're like assigned groups, they're telling me right now, that have actually signed contracts if we want to actually get some of this stuff online. Going back to the 7.8 cycles per second, it resonates to what we call Schumann's resonance on the planet. There's an electromagnetic field around planet Earth called Schumann's resonance. And that has been pretty close since the late 40s and early 50s. They've actually kept an eye on Schumann's resonance, and from that, is radiated that for many, many years. It's only been recently, the last few years, that Schumann's resonance has actually got a little catawampus. It's gone up to 13 and 14 hertz, which is in the beta state, which, in a way, you think about it, when we're in awake state having this conversation, we're talking beta. When we're in the first state of going to sleep at night or meditating, that's alpha wave state. So if you think about it, Mother Earth is kind of waking up if you're going into beta. And I think we're all going through a spiritual awakening, and from that, I think our IQ is increasing, and from that, we're going to get more ideas that's already there on the matrix. You know, there is an energetic field, a field of consciousness that has all these ideas for these devices. It's a matter of you sitting down, meditating, and tapping into that world wide web, not the internet, but your own inner net connection to that matrix that's out there with those ideas.
We got a question from the chat room about what kind of crystals are best for this.
My guys have said that the quartz crystals, because they're very universal and they amplify. So, for example, I would recommend taking a quartz crystal on a ghost because of the fact that it will amplify. If you have fear, it's going to amplify that. If you're in a really good state, then a protection, then it's going to amplify your protection. So if you have the intent of actually amplifying the communication, my guide said that quartz crystals are really good, especially what they're telling me right now is a generator crystal. Those are the crystals that stand straight up, up and down, and are flat on the bottom. That actually brings in source energy, my guide said, at a more accelerated rate.
Okay.
Wow. Can you do readings too? You do private,
yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Can you do a reading like for me?
Sure. I just need to tap into vibration, which is your birth date, because it's geometria. Pythagoras came up with that numerology, and just meditate on your birthday. What's your birthday?
9/26/73.
1973. Let me.
Now, you started doing this, you got this ability in 92? Before that, you didn't have it?
No.
See, now
I tried to get there. How do I get it? Well, you can. Come over to my office and have some sound therapy. We'll get you on track.
You have to explain that before you go. I want to hear about the sound therapy, because I went looking for it here in Austin, and I can't seem to find anybody who does what you do.
Now, is that like binaural beats or...
Yeah, it's really good stuff. We'll talk about that. So, all right, going back to your birthday, 9/20/1973.
Yeah.
If we took your birthday and brought it down to a single digit, anybody in numerology is going to be a 1 through 9, okay? And they have spiritual lessons that they're going to learn with that. If we add up the 9, the 26, and 1973, and bring it down to a single digit, that comes out to a 1, okay? That means that you like to be the very best at what you do in life. If you're going to learn something, you're going to learn everything about it. Mm. You are supposed to be a leader, a way shower in this lifetime.
Yeah.
The thing about, you're also born on a day. Sometimes you can be a little stubborn, my guy said, about listening to other people's advice, and sometimes then you end up having to learn lessons the hard way. But be open to other people's advice and experience, because then that will bring your projects really going really, really far. You're in a personal year of a 4, which you're here learning. You're either going to be teaching stuff from this past year you've been teaching, or you've been learning something new within the research or reading, anything along those lines. Things have been not going as fast as you would like this year, but it's going to start changing a lot more next year.
Hmm.
The thing is, you're your own worst critic about things. You're really, really hard on yourself if you don't do things kind of perfect about things. And sometimes it could be hard for you to make a decision about something if you can see both people's point of view sometimes, and sometimes that can get muddled in your thought, and it's really hard for you to make a decision.
Yeah, that's true.
Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, that's
hit him that, on the head.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's yep. pretty dead on. That's a little creepy.
That's cool.
I want to hear mine next, but I won't hold you up with that. Explain the sound healing that you do in the
sound therapy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I had my spiritual awakening, my guides once sang, everything is color, light, vibration, and sound. Please never forget that statement because it's going to help you in the future, and you're going to be working with it in some way, with contact to the other side, along with helping people get in line with their psychic abilities and their intuition. What we do is we actually use tuning forks and acupuncture points of the body. I have a room that's built with, there's no windows in the room, it's dark. It's dark paneling, but I've devised some LED lights that actually do a color bath over your body. They go through the cycles of red, green, yellow, blue, and aquamarine, and all these different colors to be in your body. I have two speakers on either side of your ears that have some music that actually trains your brain to go into alpha wave. And then I also hook you up to an alpha wave machine that helps your brain match up to those alpha waves, so it helps you meditate and helps you relax within a few minutes, which is kind of cool. So you lay in the room for about 10 or 15 minutes. Then I come in, I tap the forks, and I actually place them on the bottom of your feet. It's vibration. I work the acupuncture point from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head for another 10 to 12 minutes, and then I leave the room again for another 10 minutes. So it's a half-hour treatment. The other added ingredient that I did is my guide showed me how to build an energetic grid. So underneath the table is a stainless steel grid with copper underneath because they said that grounds the energy. I have crystals that are lined up in a certain sacred geometry pattern underneath the table, and I actually generate a 30 milliwatt laser light on the central crystal. My guide said by putting the light on the crystal, it excites the photons that are in the crystals. You can actually see it vibrate, and it causes a little disturbance in the field, just enough that people can meditate, but also maybe have contact to the other side. I don't guarantee that, but I know after doing this for 10 years, I've seen a lot of people actually become a little bit more clear within themselves, making decisions, and actually having an increase with their intuition and feeling a little bit more self-confident about it and having reduced stress. One of my theories is that pineal gland does get activated with DMT, which is called dimethyl tryptophan, which is called the God molecule or the spirit molecule. Dr. Richard Strassman actually wrote a whole book on it and did a study on it. And I actually think that the pineal gland is a generator of this DMT. And by being in the dark, they have found that the God molecule, the spirit molecule, does get released around 3 o'clock in the morning. And you do get really, really more psychic at that time. So my theory was by having the darkened room and training your brain waves to the alpha waves, relaxing and doing that, you can get a little bit more contact. We're stimulating the serotonin and the DMT in your brain. However so slightly it is, it can happen. And that's also my theory about when this magic hour when you go ghost hunting at 3 o'clock in the morning, why are you seeing more ghosts? Why are you getting more EVPs? Why is it done at that time? I was thinking about it when I was reading Rick Strassman's book. I was thinking, oh, my God, I'm thinking that we are mostly getting DMT released in our brain, therefore having this psychedelic experience or being more in tune to the other side. And that's why we're getting results as opposed to other people that may be ghost hunting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Huh.
But
so is there anybody else that does that? Go ahead, Andy. I'm sorry. What?
Is that dependent on the individual circadian rhythms, or is it pretty much just kind of set to our environment? Like, I work nights and sleep during the day, so would there be a better time for me to try to concentrate on this sort of thing?
Definitely. Yes, and I call it, I don't pronounce it right, but it's called sidereal time, okay? And what that is that's when there's one time during the day that the planet Earth is actually in a direct alignment with the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And on my website under astrology, right at the bottom, total bottom, there is a little link there that you can actually type in your city and where you're at, city and state, and it'll convert it into sidereal time. What that time is, that means that you are 300% where you live at, 300% more psychic at that time than any other time of the day.
Okay.
And this
is this on Salo Sounds, or is it on the Paranormal Trails?
It's on salosounds.com, and it's under the astrology page, right if you scroll down towards the bottom, the link is there.
Okay.
And this research is done a lot. David Wilcox, of course, from Divine Cosmos, he does lots of research and is wonderful. And he's the one that should be credited for that.
Okay. We have a friend. He's not with us tonight. I don't see him in the chat room, but his name is Mike, and he has paranormalweather.com.
Right.
And he tracks the weather and how it affects your location and your paranormal, I don't know, how the weather affects it, your communication.
I would agree with that. My guides are saying that sometimes, water or moisture is going to affect hauntings and communication.
I have my best sessions out by the pool or in my bathroom.
Yeah, I agree with that. And water's a great conductor. And the cool thing is that's why the Queen Mary, you got, there's something about the metal, my guys are saying, the electromagnetics, sitting against the water that creates great communication. And there you got this big old ship of it there at the Queen Mary. How cool is that?
Yeah.
I agree. I would definitely agree with that. That place is amazing.
Yeah. It's just a little time capsule, just radiating a very thin doorway to the other side. And being a psychic or medium, you really can feel the differences on the ship. The interesting thing is when I first went on the Queen Mary, I would go up every level, and I would feel this energy by the pool, of course. There was like one spot near the pool down there that I could feel. And as I walked up every level, I would feel this, you know how when someone like rubs a balloon on your hair,
mm-hmm.
Electromagnetic, or you put two magnets together?
Right.
I would walk on every floor. I would find the exact same spot going up like vertically from the pool through every single level. There was like this vortex of energy you could feel. And I just had so much fun just going back and forth and feeling it and then marking it and then thinking how many paces from the stairwell was it to the other spot. And I'd go up every level and do that. And it was like, it was right on. It was so cool.
I know. I really don't feel like I have an intuitive bone in my body. I mean, I'm very technically minded. So I think that kind of precludes me from being able to do that. I would love to, but like Kristen said, when I try to attempt to meditate, I can't ever quiet my mind. I just think I'm a poor candidate. But I tell you what, that was the only place I've ever been that I felt just soaked up all the paranormal energy of the years. And I could actually feel people behind me, in front of me, walking the corridors, and it was absolutely amazing. So even for those of us that are about as psychic as a rock, as I like to say, which would be me.
Oh,
a crystal rock.
You know, I can almost guarantee, though, that you'll be able to feel something if you visit the Queen Mary.
Oh, yeah. What I liked about it, it was a perfect example, too. One of the bathrooms near the pool, there was a women's bathroom there. When you go through the doorway there, it was kind of neat because all of a sudden it was a sense of silence, and I've experienced that with a few spots on the planet here, what I call time travel, where you actually get back in time, where actually you can smell the smells and see the people and actually time travel and have a blip of that happen in the moment. And that happened to me on the Queen Mary when I was there at the restroom, and everything got really quiet, and it got still, and everything started to go really, really slow, and I'm like, being transported, and then hearing the noises and the sounds from the path in that one moment, it's an amazing feeling.
Wow. I was wondering if I was psychic. If people who use the box, I think, have a tendency to be more psychic than they think they are.
Yes, people
personally.
Have it in their body. It's the way they feel. And that's the first key is, like, how does it feel in your body? Does it feel good? Does it feel bad?
Yeah.
Well,
I have a question for you. Do you do numerology?
Yes, I do numerology.
What is 111?
111, what does that mean? Well, anytime you start seeing the magical numbers, like 1111, 111, 222, 223, 444, okay,
mm-hmm.
that... When that happens to you, think about what you were thinking about in that one moment.
Hmm.
And that's the way your guides and angels are trying to get to you to say, that was a very important thought. You need to pay more attention to that, okay? But also, the significance of 111 is like that independence. It's being the way shower. What do you want to happen in your life? You are the creator of your own reality. How do you want to look your life to look like? And put your intention in that moment as that's happening. You got three ones. 111, that's 1 plus 1 plus 1, that's 3. That also means the joy of living. Three is a vibration of communication. It's radio, it's television, it's communication, networking, information, computers, art, music, dance, and writing. That's what three is.
Because that's my birthday, and I see it everywhere. So every time I see 111, I stop and do an intention prayer. Every time.
Oh, I love it.
And so I always wondered about that.
And thanks for explaining that, because I catch the 11:11 thing probably 5 days out of the week, and p.m., a.m., it doesn't matter. I've always wondered what that meant, because I think I was training myself to subconsciously catch it. So.
Was that in the movie The Knowing? Wasn't that all about numbers?
I never saw the movie, so I couldn't tell you.
Oh, that was a great movie.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that, but it's great. Also, when you see 11:11, put what your intentions are. If you have wishes about making, you know, lining up with yourself, of making more money, or having a device that does contact to the other side, and just lining up with yourself for that 1 minute of 11:11, and you practice that every day when you see it, you'd be surprised the things that get manifested in your life.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
It's kind of cool. And Chris, did you want me to do your birthday, or?
Oh, yeah, if you want to. I'm up for it. It's 1-11-65.
1-11-1965?
Correct. I'm older
That's
than
right.
Steve.
Okay, Steve. All right. Okay, it looks like you're a 6 in numerology.
Oh, mama.
That means you're family-oriented, community, animals and pets are very important to you. You have a natural charisma and energy about you that people like. When you walk in the room, you brighten up that room. They can't wait for you to come in the room. Kind of cool. Your personality, if you're born 1-11, 1, 2, 3, means that you have a very good sense of humor. And that's, like, really, really important. The personal year that you're in right now is also a 6, so this is your year to anything that you put out. It only comes once every 10 years. This 2010 is your year. If you ever wanted to get married, this is the year to do it. If you ever met your love of your life, this is the year to do it. If you already have somebody you love, then it just gets better. If you're ever thinking about having a kid, this is the year to kind of think about it. Magical things will happen for you this year, and that's kind of great. I love it. You're born on the 11th day, which means you're here as to learn self-mastery of yourself, which means to bring those psychic abilities online, to bring those empathetic feelings that you feel when you walk in a room. Sometimes you can pick up other people's energy and be a psychic sponge. No, it's not about you sometimes to make sure to know the difference between their energy and your energy. Also, you're born under Capricorn, but sometimes you have that heaviness of being under Saturn, which means, when is it going to be my turn? When will I get all these things happening? But it will in this lifetime, my guides are saying.
Wow. That is something
awesome
to look forward to.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that.
Cool. That's fun.
I didn't know he's a fellow Capricorn.
Yeah.
My sister's awesome. A Capricorn also.
All right. I love Capricorn. Yeah, there are good people, and they're very grounded, and I love that, especially for investigations. They're very realistic, and I love it.
Yeah, Andy, you're really realistic.
Perhaps to a fault.
No, not to a fault. I mean, it's good. You're a cop. You need to be.
Well, you know what's interesting is my wife and I were talking, and it was weird because we talked about, you know, what we like in each other, and every love interest she's ever had throughout her life has always been a Capricorn, including myself.
Mine too. I married a Capricorn. Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
That's awesome.
But anyway, guys, we gotta wrap this up. It's
really.
Oh man. Time flies.
Yeah, it is.
If anybody wants, her website is salosounds.com. That's SALOSOUNDS, and the other is what, Paranormal Trails.
Yes, .com.
.com.
And they can also look up any of my YouTubes of my investigations and things on under Salo Stanley. Just type in Salo Stanley as one word on YouTube, and it'll come up.
Just
got a ton of.
We'll drop the links out in the chat room so people can go and check that out. What's with the PX video, Andy?
I just love it. That's kind of one of the videos that got me deciding I wanted one. So good
deal.
Yeah,
I like the PX box because I use it on phonetic, which I like more than the dictionary.
Yes,
leave
me
it
too.
As a search You know, it's just, I just makes it more real. Because sometimes it'll repeat the same words a lot on the dictionary mode.
Yeah, I don't. That's exactly why I don't use the dictionary mode, because I think if you hear enough words, your mind is going to try to piece together and make sense of the words. So
exactly.
That's how I feel anyway. So anyway.
Exactly. And on the video on my PXbox, it was on the phonetic mode when it said come play.
Well, there you go. All right, I appreciate you coming on and being a guest tonight. I'm like,
Thank you so much.
I think I'm half asleep now.
Thank you. I can't wait to
hear your box. When Rich makes your box, we'd love to hear it.
Yes, and I thank Rich, too, for all the effort and energy he's putting. You know, I wouldn't be on
this program. He's a great guy.
And so I just want to say thank you, Rich, and God bless you for all the work you're doing.
That's good. I appreciate you coming on here. And I want to get in touch with you some other time besides on the radio show, because you got a lot of stuff that's interesting that I'd like to pick your brain on.
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anything I do a lot of studying, 2 hours of studying on the research and all sorts of things every morning. And so I can usually talk about a lot of stuff, except I'm a political atheist, so.
Okay.
Thinking about politics.
Probably a smart thing, so.
Sounds good.
I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll be in touch with you, and I'll be in touch with Rich. I want to hear the improvements he's doing to your box. You got a couple interesting things going on there. And if it's good, I'll have him make me one.
Exactly.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye. What a cool guest.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
She was really, really interesting.
Yeah,
She was talking. You know, she was talking about the time, space-time bubbles and stuff like that.
Yeah,
there's a lot of research going on with the exciting of crystals and other stuff like that with laser fields. And I just kind of rang true with some of that. I can't remember the guest name on Coast to Coast, but he did a show here recently that was real interesting about that. So that was pretty cool.
A show on our show?
Coast to Coast.
Snorri.
Gotcha. About the. Using lasers
radio
and crystals, too.
Oh, Coast to Coast? Oh, yeah, that's my competition.
That's right.
But anyway, all right, guys. I for some reason, I'm like really tired, and I have no idea why I'm so tired.
She's in Fresno.
Moderation.
California.
Oh, she's at... Someone I know she's in California.
There's someone in the chat room asked, Haunted Lunch.
Haunted Lunch. Yeah, who was Haunted Lunch?
I have no idea. Who is Haunted Lunch? Do we know you, Haunted Lunch?
Anyway. All right, I'm going to play us out. When are we doing another show? 2 weeks?
Two weeks. So we'll see you then.
All right, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
You'll get known. Who knows?
All right, I'm going to play us out. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Take it easy. Bye.
You've been listening to RTSC Talk Radio here only on the Steve Holte Radio Network.